So Jesus has a bee in his bonnet today. He and the disciples are on the road, and someone new in their midst pipes up and says, I want to follow you. And you think that he'd say, awesome, come and join us. We will fish for people, right? But no, Jesus' response is, do you really know what you're getting yourself into? You may find yourself losing everything. This is not going to be easy. To the next person they encounter, Jesus says his line, follow me. And the response is, yes, Lord, but first I need to bury my father, which in that day could take a year, the like burial process, all of those things. It could take a while. And Jesus's response, let the dead bury the dead. All right, well, maybe it'll get better. No. The third person says, I want to follow you, but let me just go say goodbye. I'll pack my underwear, and I'll be right back. And Jesus says, you're not fit for the kingdom of God. Oh, goodness. This is not a text I want to come back from vacation on. This is not kind or compassionate or patient, like the fruits of the Spirit we just heard about are. Jesus, if you can't let someone say goodbye before following you, do not recruit a two-year-old. It takes forever to get across the church parking lot. We live in this parsonage just on the other side, and Phoebe goes to preschool down here, and it takes 15 minutes because we have to say hi to the trees and look at these flowers and here's a bee and ooh, I found a rock in the parking lot. There's so much urgency in this text. Jesus is barking orders, and I can almost picture these disheveled disciples running to keep up. You know, maybe they have one shoe on, they're hopping, they're like trying to keep up with him, and he is focused on Jerusalem. And we know that Jerusalem will lead to Good Friday and the cross. Why would you be in a hurry to do that? This was our text for Ash Wednesday, so we just heard this text a couple months ago. And what a good text it was for that particular day, a day where we examine our actions versus our intentions. We want to show up and serve and be the best little disciples of Jesus. But often we have lines like these folks. Hold on. How about next week? But first I need to, ... Can I get back to you? This text is a mirror to us of how often we cannot come through to Jesus' ask to love our neighbors. We fail, which is why most weeks we start with this confession. God, we have not lived up to all you had hoped we would be once again. We are selfish creatures. We want to love, but it's really hard. We want to be generous, but have you noticed the world seems unstable and money means safety? We want peace, but it seems the only way we can get there is by big weapons and innocent casualties. We want to be patient with those we live with, but it is really hard to live with other people. Jesus stops by all the time, and even your pastor sometimes ignores the call. As I think about the responses in this text, I cannot help but think about this little documentary the ELCA put out in 1966. It's called A Time for Burning. It was nominated for an Academy Award. You can watch the whole thing on YouTube. It's about 45 minutes long, and it's about a white congregation in Omaha, Nebraska. As a part of desegregation efforts, Pastor Bill Youngdahl, a bright young Minnesotan who went south to Omaha, right? The heart of the Midwest. And he has this idea to start a dinner ministry where couples from his congregation and couples from the Black Lutheran church down the street just simply sit down and eat together. It does not go well. The congregation says things like, I believe in this pastor, but I just don't think it's the right time. Let's put it off. We will lose people if we go through with this. I think we would destroy what we have built up here in our church over a good many years. And this would be bad because we've got a good, strong congregation here, a very faithful congregation. So let's keep them intact while we make progress. I think there needs to be a more general approach to this. It's painful to hear the church say these things, especially at a time when black churches were being bombed and people were lynched. This was the time of Martin Luther King Jr.'s I Have a Dream speech and Rosa Parks and the Freedom Riders and all of that. And yet, it goes so badly, and I guess I'll spoiler alert here, but the pastor ends up leaving. It's hard. It's a hard truth to reckon with. Sometimes I still hear echoes of these sentiments today. It's hard to stand up in a time when we feel afraid. But the gospel reminds us that what's at stake here is our belovedness. This is the urgency that Jesus was pulled to in this text. There is no time to wait. But the beautiful thing about Jesus is we don't have to approach this work from a place of shame. Yes, the church doesn't get it right most of the time. But we do that 1%, and that God can work with. There is still time for us. There is still grace and forgiveness and second chances and more second chances and more second chances. We can look to the story right before this, where those disciples enter that Samaritan village. Now remember Samaritans. The Samaritans were the despised enemy of the Judeans. They were rivals. They did not get along. Each had a different way of worshiping, different temples, different priesthoods. And walking through Samaritan territory would have been the fastest way to Jerusalem, but it would have been dangerous. And most Judeans would have chosen a more roundabout, favorable, hospitable way. So what happens? Jesus and the disciples go through, and their group is rejected. And feeling the rejection, the disciples want to take revenge. They want to burn it down. And yet Jesus invites them into a different way, a new way of compassion and forgiveness, a surprising reaction of no reaction. He essentially tells them to move on. It's not worth the energy when there's more important work at hand. And spoiler alert, those hated Samaritans become the famed heroes of the next parable Jesus teaches, the Good Samaritan. For there is no one beyond redeeming in the eyes of God. No one is a permanent enemy or perfect ally. We are all just humans trying to figure out how to love each other with and by the grace of God. You know, when I preached on this text Ash Wednesday, I said these things, and I feel like it bears repeating. I said a few months ago that we too in this work between intention and action will make mistakes. Most days, we too will have excuses. We too will seize the opportunity to destroy our enemies. But the poet Maya Angelou reminds me over and over again, do the best you can until you know better. And when you know better, do better. The point is to keep showing up, keep learning, keep asking questions, keep leaning into relationship for the sake of love, especially when it's hard. Live with humility as forgiven people. For this call to a life of love, to have faith in a loving, abundant, forgiving God, dear ones, this is a needed, urgent, and controversial message. And while this text seems harsh at a first read, it's Jesus' attempt at a wake-up call. Eugene Peterson puts it best in his biblical translation, The Message, where Jesus tells this group, your business is life, not death. And life is urgent. No procrastination, no backward looks. You can't put off the kingdom of God till tomorrow. Seize the day. Now, this morning, we got to do that. We celebrated our commitment to these things alongside JoJo in her baptism. Renouncing the devil, right? It seems archaic, but actually maybe not. I feel like the face of evil is pretty present these days. But we reminded her and ourselves that the world wastes no time in telling us lies about what matters, who is valued, and what does love and power look like. And so we stand with JoJo in this urgency. We renounce these lies about our worth, and we seize the day. For the call of Jesus has compelled us to try and live differently, to lean into life that is really life. And so, dear church, let us continue to be bold about the things that really matter. Let us not put off for tomorrow what we can do today. For our world is hungry and exhausted, afraid and angry. God's love is for you. God's love for your neighbor cannot wait any longer. Amen. Thanks be to God.